great.
Thank you.
Yeah, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling okay. I got actually a little kidney stone.
What?
Yeah. I actually have a kidney stone. It hit me the other day. I was in Minneapolis, and I've had them before. I got my first one. I was like 19. Other than that, I'm just fine.
You're tan. You look fit.
Thanks.
And you're wearing beautiful clothes and a New York Mets pin.
Gotta show the colors.
Fly the colors. You were in Chicago, right?
I was in Chicago last night and yesterday, and, you know, the Cubs kind of drummed us, and I wore the Met pin. I want these people to know where I'm from,
mm-hmm.
what I stand for.
And are you are a baseball fan.
Yeah. I like the Yankees,
and
too.
And a football
fan. Believe it or not, I like both football teams also.
And the Knicks fan, I think, right?
Yeah. I like it all.
Well, it's a great place to live.
I'm a Rangers fan, an Islanders fan. I like it all.
Do you know Jerry Cooney personally?
Yeah, I know Jerry.
Yeah, you're from the same neck of the woods, right,
yeah.
You guys?
Hi, Billy. How you doing?
He's going to make a comeback. You hear that? He's going to fight somebody, I think George Foreman, real soon.
He's got a lot of heart, Jerry.
Yeah. So, how are you? Good?
Yeah.
Good record.
Good. Really good record. We're going to play some cuts from it. When would you like us to start that? How about now? Can we play something from... the new album, say, Stormfront?
Oh, that's timely, yeah. Yeah, that's how that worked out. That's a, well, you listen to the lyrics and you'll feel, hey, haven't I been hearing this the last couple of days about this hurricane, you know?
Yeah, anybody that would like to ask Billy Joel a question, feel free to use our phones to do it on, 955-9292. We're going to hear something from the new album. It is, as he says, very timely. 92.3 K-Rock. It's called Stormfront. Hugo, this one's for you.
Hmm.
Oh, man, that's great. It's a new one from Billy Joel on K-Rock, and the album is called Stormfront, and so is that song, and it will be released to the general public on October 17th. It's a privilege to play it. It's great.
Thank you.
Who's the guitar player on that?
There's two guitar players. Most of the rhythm stuff is David Brown, who's been with me a long time. But the little is Mick Jones is playing guitar. Yeah.
Who also co-produced it with you?
Yes, Mick co-produced the whole album with me.
Yeah. Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky.
Stormy weather.
Yeah.
How did you and Mick Jones end up, you had a relationship for a while?
Well, you know, Mick and I had met each other a number of times, and I think one of the first times was at a Steve Winwood show.
Mm-hmm.
We said hello. It was kind of polite. We didn't get to know each other that well because we just kind of hit and miss. And I was talking to a number of different people about co-producing. I was talking with Eddie Van Halen.
Uh-huh.
And Mick had produced an album for them with 5150.
Right.
And Mick's name came up. And I was talking about another guy, Mutt Lange, who had done a project with Mick when he was with Foreigner. So Mick Jones' name kept coming. I said, I talked to Mick Jones, you know. I met with him, and we just hit it off right off the bat. It was just like, oh, man, I'm going to be able to work with this guy because he's a musician. He's also a songwriter. He writes all the, you know, he's written all the hits for Foreigner.
I figured that would make it, more interesting and click faster, being that it's not just meeting a producer. It's somebody that's done everything that you've already done in terms of writing, singing, performing.
Yeah, it wasn't that I was looking for somebody to like produce me or direct
right.
me, because a lot of it I do on my own. But I wanted, you have to have another set of brains in there to bounce off. And Mick, he's from that English school of production. The English, they're a little bit kinky, you know, and a little bit decadent. And they do sometimes outrageous things. They take a lot more chances, I think, than the traditional forms of recording. I mean, like the drum sounds on the Zeppelin records.
Right.
Or the guitar sounds with Cream and Hendrix and all that stuff. We had fun making the record. It was a lot of fun working with him. He's a nice guy.
Speaking of drum sounds, the, I think, unmistakable sound of Liberty DeVito, he's still with you, right?
Yeah. Lib, huh?
He's the best.
Call him Lib?
Yep, Lib.
Uh-huh. Lib. Libmeister.
Yeah, he beats the heck out of those drums, man. He smashes a drum set every couple of days, and he just have to get a new drum set. But he's with me and David Brown. And the other people are new people in the band.
Are they the guys on the back of the Stranger album with you? Liberty's there, I know.
Liberty is there. David wasn't in that one because David joined us, I think, in 79.
That's one of the great pictures, isn't it? Isn't that beautiful?
You know where that is?
Supreme Macaroni Company,
over on 9th Avenue.
Yeah. Let's go have lunch.
It's still there.
I know the boys. I know those boys.
It's a great little lady comes out. They don't give you a menu. They just tell you this is what they're making tonight. It's a great place.
Yeah. You want to go to the phones? Let's see what's happening here. Hi, K-Rock. No, don't tell me I don't know how to work this thing. No, it's not on. Oh, here we go. Hi, K-Rock.
Okay. Wait a minute. I'm the one that usually does that. Let me figure this out. Aside from what we just heard here, Billy Joel's our guest at K-Rock. The other one that we have already had on, We Didn't Start the Fire, which is something that I really only heard for the first time this morning driving to the train. I put it on and I was cranking it, and it was one of those great things where sometimes when you're in the radio, in the car listening to the radio, mm-hmm. and you can't get out until you hear the end of it.
Yeah.
Either because you want to know who it is or you want to know how it ends. You're spitting on this one.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
hot.
Well, that's a good test for a record in the car, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I sort of couldn't quite tell, although the message is pretty clear on this. I wondered if part of what you're saying there is... going through everything from, I guess, about 1950 to now, all kinds of American icon things, I guess, from Marilyn Monroe to DiMaggio, but also to hypodermics being found on the beach and JFK getting blown away, what more can I say?
Right.
Is it sort of like, We Didn't Start the Fire, kind of like, we didn't do this, but we've inherited this, and it's a mess, and what are we going to do about it?
Yes, it's basically, you know, if you watch the news, and I was talking to somebody who was in their 20s, and they're saying, boy, times are just terrible. This is the worst time, you know, crisis here, and AIDS, and crack, and... all these horrible things. I said, yeah, I know. I felt the same way when I was your age. And he goes, yeah, but you at least grew, you were a kid in the 50s, and nothing really happened in the 50s. And I said, wait a minute. You ever hear of Korea? You ever hear of the Suez Crisis? Khrushchev? You know, the in Budapest, the Hungarians, freedom fighters? And I started writing this stuff down, partly because I'm a history nut, and I love history. And I wanted to be a history teacher at one time, but I didn't graduate high school, so that was the end of that. But I started writing it out. I said, "Wait a minute! This has got a rhythm to it. I'm gonna do a song about this. Basically, to say to people also, you know, it seems like a horrendous place, but there's good stuff too. And it's always been like that, and it's always gonna be. Doesn't mean you give up, and it doesn't mean you can change the world completely. You can fight it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you can do what you know, do your own part in your own way. But don't let it get you down if it's." Seems like hopeless sometimes. It's like, look, we didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning, you know, and it's still going to go on and on after we are gone. You just do what you can.
It's interesting how the good things are in there, too. I mean, you can't help but hear lines that include hula hoops and chubby checker, as well as all the other stuff.
They're fun words to say. I mean, how often do you get to sing Belgians in the Congo?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just fun even to say it. You know, or Trouble in the Suez.
When you hear this thing, and we're going to play it, when you hear it, I had to ask this one because of the way you spit one line out after another, rapid fire.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like anything that even if I had written, I would be able to remember them all. Did you do that, like, straight through in one recording session, or do you need cue cards to remember all this? Or
no, that's all in one
take. Are you going to remember them live on stage? You know, there's a lot going on there.
By that, I might have a problem with. I'm always looking over to Liberty. You know,
yeah.
If I forget a lyric and I get this panic look on my face, and he's always watching me because he sings when he's playing the drums. He's singing all the words. And a lot of times, you know, like if I do a song like Piano Man, which I've been doing since 1973, okay, we're going to do Piano Man. And my mind will start to drift. And I'll think about, I wonder what was on that room service menu. And I'll forget, and Liberty will look over and he'll cue me.
He'll mouth it to you.
9 o'clock on a Saturday. Oh, okay. But on this one, I think we talked about it after the session. I said, oh, you're going to be able to help me with the lyrics? He goes, you're on your own. But the we did it all in one take, that vocal. It was actually done.
Which take? How many takes did it take?
It was a couple of takes to get, because I'd trip over a word now
you
and then.
You can tell, though, when you listen to it, because of the energy.
Yeah.
That it sounds as if it went straight through, that you didn't have to stop anywhere and cut in again or anything. It sounds like you just started and went flying.
No, there's nowhere to cut in, because the breathing has to be timed just right, and it wouldn't sound right if you punched in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were comparing it this morning, a couple of us talking about it, being excited about it, to a song that I mentioned to you a while ago that I'm sure our listeners remember, The Temptations, when they did Ball of Confusion.
Uh-huh.
Content-wise, it's very similar, and it's also just this one line after another of looking around and seeing what's going on and what maybe people can do about it, or at least keep aware of it. It's cool.
Yeah. Why don't we listen to it?
Yeah.
You think that's a good idea?
Yeah. Let's dance, Tony.
We're talking about it. People are saying, boy, I'd love to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Now's your opportunity. Check it out. Billy Joel on K-Rock.
in an eye and a catcher in the right. Eisenhower vaccine, England's got a new queen. Marciano Liberace, that's how you had a goodbye.
We didn't start the fire, it was all we could. The world was burning. We didn't start the fire, no, we didn't deny it. But the time was right.
Joseph Stalin, Alan Carr, Nasser and Prokofiev, Rockefeller, Campanella, communist bloc. Roy Kahn, one for all, Tuscanini, Daquan, Gin, Gin, Foo Falls, rock around the clock. Einstein, James Dean, Brooklyn, down a winning team, Davy Crockett, Peter Pan, Elvis Presley, Disneyland, Fargo, Budapest, Alabama, Khrushchev, Richard Spring, Peyton Drake, trouble in the sewage.
We didn't start the fire, it was always fire, since the world was burning. We didn't start the fire, so we did.
We didn't start the fire. Billy Joel on K-Rock. Billy Joel is in our studios here. I'm Tony Pigg with Meg Griffin. We're talking to the man, and it's a real pleasure. Your tour will start in November, right?
December.
So November, early... Oh, late November, early December. No.
Yeah, we'll be rehearsing the month of December, November, and we start up in Worcester,
Mass?
Yeah, well, that's, see, it's really the Boston area, but nobody plays in Boston anymore. They all play at the Centrum out in Worcester.
Huh.
Again, I miss the old Boston Gardens, I tell you. It's just a real barn of a place, but, you know, it had a great atmosphere.
Why is that? People don't play there anymore just because acoustics are better elsewhere or something?
I think...
Celtics don't want you on their floor.
Or Boston doesn't want rock... No, Boston wants rock and roll.
No, it's, I thought it was a good rock and roll room, but it just seems to be that the Centrum is the place to play.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And people go there.
You got a question you want to answer?
Yeah, somebody. I got a fax here. Billy Joel questions. Okay, now this guy says, why was Just the Way You Are left off your greatest hits album? Wasn't it a bigger hit than Goodnight Saigon, The Stranger, and other songs that did make it on? I don't know what greatest hits album he's got, but...
He bought a boot somewhere.
He must have bought a bootleg, because Just the Way You Are is on the greatest hits album, I think. Maybe you just gotta...
Yeah, he was upset about that. He was 2 phone calls and a couple of faxes about this guy.
Here's another one.
So
are you gonna wait another 4 years until you make your next record? What took you so long this time? It wasn't 4 years, 3 years.
Right.
Since the last studio album, and I was on the road for a year and a half after that last album came out.
Well, Russia happened in between, too, right?
Yeah, I went to Russia, uh-huh. I went to Australia twice, I went to Japan, New Zealand, Canada, Europe, UK, to all the states. I mean, that was a long tour. So before I'm going to sit down and write, I got to do a little, like, regular living. You know, Russell, all I'm going to write about is hotel rooms and airports.
Like you were telling us before getting your daughter off to school, as it's her first time doing that now, the 3-year-old?
She just started school on Monday, I know. Yeah, she loves it.
Is Daddy nervous or anything?
No, and I was glad to hear that she liked. I was actually in Los Angeles when she went to school. I was kind of bummed out because I wanted to be there my kid's first day of school, and I wasn't there, mm-hmm. and Christy took her. But Christy said she videotaped the whole thing, and Alexa loves school, and she's happy, and that's great. That's good news.
When you start your tour, do you come home on, you know, when there's a break, a mini break, a couple of days sometimes?
Well, what we usually do is we do 6 weeks on, 2 weeks off. That's what we'll be doing, is be on for 6 weeks. We'll also be doing gigs in New York during that first leg, so I'll be home anyway. We do the New York gigs, so that'll be around the holidays, Christmas holiday. I gotta be home for the holidays.
Mm-hmm. Do you know where you're playing yet in New York?
I think at the Coliseum.
Uh-huh. Last time I saw you around here, I guess it was at the Garden, and you were kicking that piano stool around something fierce that night.
Yeah, I've kicked stools and pianos and thrown stuff, and you know, they made a big deal about it in Russia when I threw the piano. But I
remember hearing about that, or maybe it was part of that special that was on television.
Yeah, it was in the documentary.
Yeah,
but I mean,
which was great.
I've thrown that same piano about 20 times.
Uh-huh. The stuff that you played already, or that we played on the air, indicates at least piano, stool, pot.
They did all those great old records. Sam and Dave, Otis uh-huh. Redding, I mean, Al Green. They played on all those records. You know, it's only 2 guys, the Memphis Horns.
Oh, I never knew that.
And they stack. You know, one guy, he plays the trombone and the trumpet. The other guy plays a sax, an alto sax and a tenor sax. And they just overdub themselves over and over and over again. That's the Memphis Horns. Uh-huh. I was knocked out when I saw that.
Want to go to the phones?
Sure.
Okay, let's see what's happening. Hello? Hello, K-Rock.
Yeah, hello. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Billy.
Yeah.
Big fan for a long time.
Thank you.
I always said that I was going to ask you one question if I ever spoke to you. And this is it. Tell me about Vienna. What was going through your mind when you were writing Vienna?
The song Vienna was written for a couple of friends, actually, a number of different people that I know who were in that time of life, 20s and 30s, and they were kind of killing themselves to make their career successful. And they were, you know, they were just going through a tough time. And I was just trying to say to them, look, you got your whole life to live. There's a reason for having a whole life. Don't try to, you know, destroy whatever happiness you're going to have at this time of your life to get to, you know, that American dream success thing. Because you got a whole life to live, and you know, just do what you can. And I had just been to Vienna. Actually, my father lives there. He lives in Vienna, and it seemed to be a nice city for older people. They a lot of older people actually have jobs. They don't retire there. They do some kind of work. They keep themselves busy, and it's a very civilized place. And to me, it was a metaphor for you know, a nice older life. You know, Vienna was like, you can have a nice older life.
They don't tend to respect older people that same way in this country an awful lot of the time.
Well, we tend to throw away people when they get
discard,
to a certain age.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I tell you what's going to happen, the baby boom man is going to start getting up there and
that's
start
right.
seeing things a lot differently.
Right.
You
know?
It's already started. I feel that there's the inroads made on that. Let's go to another line here. Hello, K-Rock.
How you doing?
Okay.
Billy?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I'm in college right now, and you've been a great inspiration to me. And every time I sit in another mindless class, I think of the song Pressure, making references to Psych 1 and Psych 2. And I'm a psych major. I just want to know, what inspired you to do that song, to write those lyrics?
To tell you the truth, I was writing it, this is on the Nylon Curtain album,
mm-hmm.
and I had only gotten about, I don't know, 6 or 7 songs out, and I was stuck. And
mm-hmm.
I was stuck, and I was stuck, and I hit a wall, and I was feeling nothing but pressure. What am I going to write about? What am I going to write about? How am I feeling? How am I doing? What am I thinking? What should I write? Hey, you know, I got to write about what I'm feeling right now. Pressure. I'm feeling a lot of incredible pressure.
Exactly.
And it just kind of popped out. It was almost stream consciousness when I wrote the song.
That's excellent. I just have to say one more thing. I had met you about 8 years ago in a cycle dealer on 109 in Babylon.
Oh, yeah, the Harley dealer.
Yeah, and you had, I think, a red Corvette.
No, I didn't have a red Corvette.
Well, anyway, I had asked you for your autograph, and I felt really, really apprehensive about doing it, but you did it, and you did it gracefully, and I just want to thank you again.
Oh, sure.
I really do.
All right.
But thanks a lot, Billy.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Hi, it's K-Rock.
Hi, Billy. This is Paul from New Jersey.
Hi, Paul.
Congratulations on the new album. Everything I've heard so far sounds really good.
Thank you.
One thing I've always looked forward to with the release of any new Joel album is the tour that follows.
Mm-hmm.
My question is if, at any point along the Stormwatch tour, if there will be a cable pay-per-view show.
It's Stormfront.
Stormfront.
We have trouble with that. Will there be a cable pay-per-view show?
Right.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, like what the Who did with Tommy, what Elton John's doing, what the Grateful Dead usually do.
Howard Stern did it?
I don't know. I suppose anything's possible. We don't have that in the hopper yet. I just figure I'm just going to go out and play live concerts. Cable pay-per-view, huh?
Maybe.
It's possible, sure.
Well, didn't you do one similar in England back in 84 where they broadcast that one via satellite?
But that, I don't think that was pay-per-view.
No, I don't think they paid for it.
Yeah, I think that was... we've done a couple of satellite shows. And I know there's been stuff on cable, but we don't have any plans yet, but it's possible, sure.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, you're welcome.
Hi, it's K-Rock.
Hi.
Hi.
I can't believe it. I thought you forgot me.
No.
Hi, Billy.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Oh, I can't believe I'm actually talking to you. I waited my whole life. By the way, congratulations on your new album.
Thank you.
And when are you coming to the Meadowlands?
The Meadowlands will probably do... Let's see. Ba, 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 ba. Did I take a break in January? I have a 2-week break.
It's so hard to hear what you've been saying to everybody because I'm like not near the radio and I don't know what anybody's asked you. But
Well, no one asked me that yet. I probably would do the Meadowlands next year because the tour doesn't start till December. And we're already doing a New York area gig and around the holidays. So I'm assuming we'll play the Meadowlands next year.
I can't believe I'm talking to you.
Me neither.
It's like unbelievable, and I don't even know what to ask. Like I was trying to think of what to ask you. I couldn't think. I want to know. First of all, I'm curious. Are you really moving to Deal, New Jersey?
No, I keep hearing that.
Well, so do I.
No, I don't have a house in Deal, New Jersey.
Oh.
But I know there's. And the other room was I had a piano-shaped house on Long Beach
Island. Yeah, that we heard a long time ago.
I don't have that. The other room was that I bought Bruce's house in Rumson. I didn't buy that. I live out on the east.
I didn't hear that one. But.
No, I live out on the east end of Long Island. That's where I live.
Yeah. I don't know where, but. And I just want to.
But you can tell her.
Excuse me?
Nothing.
I just wanted to say how much I love. And plus, I want to ask you one question real quick. Good night, Saigon.
Yeah.
I wanted to know, like, how much of that. First of all, did you have many friends in Vietnam? Or?
Yes, I did. I had a lot of friends who went to Vietnam.
And you lost a lot, right?
I lost a few friends, yes.
Because every time I hear that, I just, like, I don't know. It just gets to me.
Yeah,
that's why. I think that's my most favorite song. If you guys in K-Rock can hear me, if you could play that for me, I'd appreciate it.
Mm. Got it.
Sounds like a cue to me.
Excuse me?
It sounds like a cue to us.
Well.
Just have to give us a couple of seconds to get the CD out and push the appropriate buttons, and I'm sure Billy would like to hear it.
I'm going to buy that new album real quick.
Uh-huh.
And Billy, I love you.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck to you and your new album, and I'll see you as soon as you get to the Meadowlands.
All right.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Having somebody bring up a song like that and some of the things that are obviously coming up once again with the new material, I wonder sometimes if an artist such as yourself gets into a position where you think, because there is so much going on and there's an awful lot of attention that is needed for a lot of the messes that are out there, do you feel a... Not like you always have to, but that you have some sort of a responsibility to incorporate important thinking into the lyrics that you're getting out there. It's not just all parties and fun, but, you know, in fact, it's important to spread the kind of word that you're spreading.
Well, I think any kind of lyric should be well thought out. I mean, if it's about dancing or love or whatever. The
or
lyric
pressure.
Is about,
or
pressure.
Or Vienna.
Yeah. You know, I respect a well-written lyric, and it always has a better impact on me. I don't think it's necessarily... mandatory that an artist should express his philosophical and political point of view to the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't write from the point of, well, I got a message and I got to get my message across to these people and they're going to listen. If it's whatever I happen to be thinking about at the time. As a matter of fact, I think when people stress the message too much, I think the music starts to suffer. And really what it's all about is music. The music is the message.
Uh-huh.
And how that makes you feel and how we relate to it as human beings. Anywhere you go in the world, even if they don't understand English, They love rock and roll. Why? Because of the way it makes you feel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times I tried to figure out the Stones lyrics before they put lyrics in?
Right.
And we, because I was in a band. All right, we got to get the words to Under My Thumb. Under my thumb, pull that down. And I'm like, what? And you have to keep putting the needle back on again. And
right.
I never understood all the Stones lyrics, but it wasn't important.
Mm-hmm.
It was how the Stones made you feel. Let me just, I got this guy asked me one more question here. On the same fact sheet, he goes, how many Americans do you suppose can pronounce the name of your recent live album? He's talking about the live Russian album. And it looks like it's
Kahuyap.
But it's actually Cyrillic lettering in the Russian lettering, and it means concert.
Mm-hmm.
It probably wasn't a great idea to spell it out like that.
Why not, man? It looks beautiful.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Well, we call it the Red Album, if that makes it any easier.
It's like Zeppelin did that when the Zofo Rom Rom Rom. Remember that? They called it, what, the fourth album?
Yeah.
Zeppelin 4?
Yeah, you end up calling something else.
So it's 92.3 K-Rock, WXRK, New York. We're going to play Goodnight Saigon. That was a very heartfelt plea to hear this song. So let's play it, and we'll talk to Billy Joel right after that on 92.3 K-Rock. 92.3 K-Rock.
It's there, Tony. It's the crickets.
Crickets. Saigon, good night.
Thank you.
92.3 K-Rock. Billy Joel in the studio. We'll be talking to him in a couple of minutes.
We were talking, the three of us, a couple of minutes ago about the video for We Didn't Start the Fire.
Right.
As you say, it spans many years and all throughout different kitchens.
That's so great.
Yeah, well, the song is dealing with big headline topics like sound bites, you know, Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray. And this was all going on while people would be, you know, getting up in the morning and having their coffee and reading the paper. To me, life really was fleshed out around the kitchen table. You did your homework on the kitchen table, you had breakfast, you had dinner with the family, your mother played card games with the friends, your father would sit around and drink beer there. That's where it was, in the kitchen. So I decided to show the inside of the song would be like the real life part of how it related to us would be in kitchens. So it starts in a kitchen that's in the 40s. And then it switches to a kitchen in the 50s, different people in different circumstances, kids in a little Davy Crockett outfit. And then it goes to the 60s and the 70s, 80s, and ends in this 90s kitchen.
Mm.
I just like the idea of the kitchen.
And goes up in flames, did you say, huh?
There's a lot of fire in the video, yeah.
Is it black and white?
No, it's I think it starts out in black. I only saw it a couple of times, but it's color.
Uh-huh. When are we all going to be able to see that? That's coming soon to our local video channels?
Yeah, I guess it's going to be out the same time the single is actually released.
Right. Cool.
Okay, we're on the phones now. Hi, it's K-Rock. Hi, K-Rock.
Hi.
Hi.
I have want to know if most of your songs pertain to real-life experiences.
I would say that there's an element of reality in all the songs. Some of them are true to life. Some of them I just make up off the top of my head. But I think they're all based on some kind of experience, whether it was mine or somebody else's. I try to write about, you know, the human experience, and I don't think I get too cosmic when I write. I like to write about real things.
And I also like to ask if any of the girls in any of your songs you wrote about were real life.
Oh yeah, I mean, Innocent Man was all about Christy, crying out loud.
Like the older songs with Lena and Rosalinda and stuff.
Actually, Rosalinda's Eyes is a scenario I made up. It was a letter that I had wished my father had written to my mother. I figured that one out. That's what Rosalinda's Eyes is. Wow. And All for Lena is... I remember when I was like 16 or 17, I broke up with a girl. I was devastated, heartbroken. I wanted to jump off the roof. It was the worst thing in the world, and I was trying to recapture that feeling, that angst, the teenage angst of breaking up with a girlfriend. And I used the name Lena, All for Lena. It's all for Lena, everything, you know, that's it, it's over. It is based on real feelings.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Hi, it's K-Rock.
Hi, how you doing? It's Clay Weed from Norwalk, Connecticut.
Hi, Clay.
How you doing, Billy?
Good.
Listen, I kind of ties into what you were just asked a little bit. So you write about the human condition. A lot of times it seems like the dark side of the human condition. Angry Young Man, Captain Jack, some of the references that are made in there.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure your marriage to Christie Brinkley has been very positive and beneficial.
Yes, it has.
I was wondering how the changes in your personal life, that notwithstanding, how have those changes manifested themselves in your music?
Well, it's a lot of people might think that I have the perfect life. Oh, he's a rock star, and he's loaded, and he's married to Christie Brinkley, and he lives a great lifestyle. You know, I have... ups and downs, just like everybody else, and life isn't always all a bowl of cherries. And I'm lucky that I can utilize all the different spectrums of what goes on in life, because I'm an artist, I'm a writer. My life is not perfect, and my life is not, you know, the ultimate thing that people should strive for. They should strive to live their own lives and find their own happiness. And I like to point that out a lot of times, because I do write about the darker things, but I think I balance it with positive things also.
Has life gotten better over the long haul? Are you still the angry young man? Were you ever?
Yes. Well, life has gotten better maybe because I've learned how to handle things better. But I still get angry. You know, I get angry at the motor vehicle department. I get angry at the telephone company. You know, I get angry at the traffic. I mean, sure, there's plenty of things to get angry about, but I don't let it rule my life.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi, K-Rock. Hi, K-Rock.
Hi, Billy.
Yeah.
Hi, listen, I got this question that's been driving me crazy ever since I heard Uptown Girl, and I heard it's so much like the Four Seasons, which is one of my all-time favorite bands. And when you sit down, when you were writing that, did you begin to make it sound like a Four Seasons song, or somewhere along the line did it come out like Four Seasons and you just decided to pursue it along those lines?
That's a good question. I perceived it when I started to write it as a Four Seasons type of song. It came towards the end of the writing of the album The Innocent Man, and I had written all these other songs, and there was like a lot of R&B stuff, and I knew I was leaving something out that was real important in my youth. There was a sound I was missing, and I said, "Wow, wait a minute, the Four Seasons! You gotta have the Four Seasons!" And that's when I wrote Uptown Girl. It was meant to sound like that.
Oh, it sounds great.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right.
Hi, it's K-Rock.
Hi, Billy Joel's there. I can't believe I'm coming through.
Yeah, you are.
First of all, this is the first time I ever got a chance to talk to my idol. The man is my idol.
You're talking to him.
Oh, this is great. I happen to be a music teacher on Long Island, and he's my inspiration. He's lied. I just want him to know that what I'm teaching in my classroom has a lot to do with what he taught me, because I was brought up on his music, and now I listen to it all the time. I have 8 posters in my classroom with Billy Joel on it, and I think his music is phenomenal. I'm so glad he has another album. How's your baby? Nobody asked that question yet.
Well, she's not a baby anymore.
Oh, she's big now.
But she just started school. She's 3 1/2, and she's a great kid. She's very musical, by the way, which is kind of scary.
I can't believe I'm talking to you.
Well, why not? Where do you teach?
I teach out on Long Island in
Where?
County.
In where?
Kings Park.
Oh, Kings Park. I used to go out with a girl from Kings Park.
Who is
maybe,
it?
Maybe it's her.
Her name was Charlotte Miller.
Yeah, I know. She lived up the block from me.
You know Charlotte Miller? I used to have to hitch from Hicksville to Kings Park. You know what kind of haul that is?
Oh, my God. You could have stopped at my house anytime.
I was crazy about her, yeah.
Well, if there wasn't Christy Brinkley, you know, only I wish I could come in. Well, thank you very much for being my inspiration, and I hope my children learn that there's not just Bach and Beethoven, there's still Billy.
Thank you.
And thank you for letting me call.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Great call.
Yeah, the three Bs. Mm-hmm. Bach, Beethoven, and Billy. Hi, K-Rock, you're on the air. Hi, K-Rock, you're on the air with Billy Joel.
How you doing?
Good.
I was wondering what type of music you like to listen to when you're home, and is there a special place you go to listen to it?
I listen to a lot of music in the car. That's my thing now. Car stereos have gotten so good. And when you're driving, it just makes you feel good. I listen to a lot of rock and roll. I listen to jazz. And I listen to classical music. I always loved classical music. And I listen to it all, to tell you the truth. I like all kinds of music. I don't limit myself to one kind. And when I've heard enough of one kind, I say, I want to listen to something else. I don't, you know, I'd say the car is the special place for me. You know, when I'm home, I'm reading a book a lot of times when I'm sitting around the house, and I don't like to have music on as background music. When I have music, I want to listen to it.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
I got to say this, these K-Rock callers are asking the greatest questions. Let's go to another one here. Hi, K-Rock.
Hi. Hi, Billy.
Hi.
It's really fantastic to be talking to you. One of your great fans, and my mom is too, and I've been trying to think what I'd ask you if I ever got a chance to talk to you, but I figure I'll just ask you something run-of-the-mill. My mom and I were wondering if when you wrote Miami 2017, what you were thinking of, if you wanted it to be depressing or if you wanted it to be inspirational or what.
When I wrote Miami 2017, I was thinking about what am I going to be telling my grandchildren when I'm 65, and I think, let's see, I was born in 49, I don't know how my math is now these days, 2017... I'd be 60-something. I'd be in my 60s, right, in the year 2017. And I was thinking of this scenario of... This is... You remember when they had the New York financial crisis? It looked like the city was going to default.
Mm-hmm.
I was living in Los Angeles at the time, and everybody in L.A. was going, ha-ha, New York's going to default. And I got really bugged.
Aren't they like that out there sometimes?
Yeah, they just got this thing about New York. And I said, what are you laughing at? If New York goes down, everybody's going to move out here. You know, and I really got defensive about it because I'm a real New York guy, and I started to write this song about what this vision of what happened to New York, like the lights went out and they blew up Yankee Stadium and the skyscrapers were toppling and boats were flipping over in the river and there was panic in the streets and this was me telling my grandchild what happened. You know, I've seen the lights go out on Broadway. Yeah. That's cool. What it was about.
Well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
I really love you. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Well, by the way, also, I would The old guy who's telling the story lives in Miami, because most New Yorkers end up down in Miami.
Right.
You know, speaking of New York and the great song, one of the greatest songs written about New York is New York State of Mind. We all know that. Do you have a favorite version of that by someone else?
Of New York State of Mind?
Because a lot of people have done it, right?
Yeah, I probably by Mose Allison.
Ooh.
Oh, I've never heard that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, he did a great version of it, yeah.
I thought you were going to say Tony's version.
Ben Sidran did a version of it, too, which was really good. Mm. And Mike Finnegan, and a lot of people.
Mike
Sidran and Mose Allison always have kind of resembled each other to me in a strange way.
Oh, yeah.
Sound-wise,
yeah,
you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Mose lends his own special magic to it.
Yeah.
God, I'd love to have that and play it.
Yeah.
Anyway, you got to get out of here, right?
Yeah, I got to run.
Let's close with another selection from your new album, and why don't you tell us about it? It's okay. Alexa Downeaster.
This is called the Downeaster Alexa, and it's what that means is it's a boat. The Downeaster is a kind of a boat, and the name of the boat is Alexa. A BR? Well, I'll get to them.
One more phone call.
Basically, it's about the baymen out on Long Island who are being squeezed out of making a living by pollution and developers and politicians and sport fishermen who don't want these guys to compete with them, but they're people who have been there for centuries, and you know, I've been trying to help these people out, because if they disappear, a part of our heritage is gone, you know. And
it's the same thing up in Gloucester, the area that we were talking about before. Yeah. To a certain degree.
Yeah, the local commercial fishermen are having a very, very tough time.
Yeah.
And it's about a guy who's a charter captain. He's got to keep going further and further away to get fish. And the kind of the punchline at the end of the song is, there's not much future for a man who works the sea, but there ain't much island left for islanders like me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called the Downeaster Alexa.
We'll hear it in a second, but first this phone call from BR.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, Bill. How you doing, man?
Hey, B. What's happening?
Not too much.
This is the guy. This is my sound man, Brian Ruggles.
B.
Hey, check it out.
Where are you?
I'm home.
You're home?
I'm putting in some new windows in the house.
Uh-huh.
Me and my father-in-law were just throwing in some new windows, and I heard you guys.
Such a regular
That's
bunch of guys.
That's why you don't live call me up.
A regular bunch of guys out on Long Island. What can I tell you?
Yeah, Liberty called me. I was doing another interview, and he called, and he said, oh, I said, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I'm home cleaning my bird cage.
His bird cage.
And then Jimmy called me up. He's home from the hospital after his appendectomy.
Yeah, I know. I talked to him yesterday. He's, you know, he's nice and high on Demerol.
Yeah, really.
You know? And,
hey, how's the record sound on the radio?
I haven't heard. I just tuned in like about 10 minutes ago, and I haven't heard it yet.
Oh, so, well, he's going to play the Downeaster Alexa, so check it out.
Okay.
I'll call you later.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, Bill, thanks.
All right, man, I'll see you later.
Bye.
Okay.
Okay, Billy Joel, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
What a pleasure.
It was fun.
What an extreme honor, and we're going to play this Alexa the Downeaster. Right?
The Downeaster
The
Alexa.
Downeaster Alexa. Here it is. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Have a nice tour.
Thank you.
Here it is.
Where?
Where is it?
Well, I'm on the Downeaster Alexa, and I'm cruising through Block Island Sound. I have charted a course to the vineyard, but tonight I am Nantucket bound.
We're 27 WNAW FM with Pat St. John and Billy Joel in the studio with us live here at 1027.
Hi.
You're going to be on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Coming up.
October 21st.
Right after the album comes out.
That's right.
That's good. So now you can probably do the fire song there, right?
Yeah, we're going to do that on it. And another song from the album.
Good. You brought us one, too, from the album. Which is going to be out on the 17th, called Stormfront.
Right.
As we wait for Hugo to come and hit and hope that it doesn't, your timing is impeccable.
Yeah, I know. It worked out that way, didn't it?
Now, nobody has heard this song yet,
right. So
we want to premiere it for you. I thank you for bringing it, because this is a treat. You know, we hear one, and then you want to hear more.
This is fun. It's got the Memphis horns on it.
Tell me about this song.
It's just got a what I call stone groove. You want to dip this groove in barbecue sauce. And I can't really explain what it's about. You're going to have to figure it out. But it's got the Memphis horns, and this is going to be another fun song to do live.
Good. Well, we'll talk about what you will be doing live and when after we listen to this. This is brand new from Billy Joel on 102.7 WNEW FM, Storm Front. That's good. Ooh, 102.7 WNEW FM. Yes, something happening on the radio.
Yeah.
With a little bit of stormy weather in there.
Yeah. We got a little bit of that in the guitar solo, a little stormy weather.
Billy Joel is live with us here at 102.7 WNEW FM. Dave Herman just walking in.
You know, we said this morning, Billy, we said not only is
this guy a genius when it comes to writing songs, but look at the promotion. I mean, he knew that when his record was going to start to be played, there was going to be a hurricane coming. I mean, what timing, Billy? All over the news. The storm. And
well,
Billy,
I mean, I'm sorry that it's happening. It's not a nice thing for when it hits, but it is strange the way that it worked out.
You have to be very careful on your next album title whenever that may be.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the bridge is okay. You know, there's a bridge and, you know, all that stuff. But you're going to go on tour. Somebody wrote in a fax, when will you tour?
We're going to tour starting in December. And we'll be playing in the New York area around the holidays. I don't know what the dates are, but we'll be in New York around the holidays. I do know that.
Around Christmas time?
Right around Christmas time. We'll do a couple of gigs.
After Paul leaves.
After Paul leaves.
I'm looking at Paul's dates through the 15th.
Yeah, we're going to follow.
After Paul leaves.
We're going to follow Paul.
What a year this has been, I'll tell you, with the Who and the Stones and the Allman Brothers Band. It goes on and on and on.
Billy Joel.
Yeah, you got to get in. I mean, it's been 3 years.
Well, actually, it's 2 years since I've been on the road, but I think it's close to 3 years since I played in New York. Yeah, it's been a while.
Is this going to be as long a tour as this last one you were on?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a long tour. Yeah, we're going to go all around the world again.
How is that? Because you're a family man, I mean, but you take the family with you.
They'll come on the road with me to certain gigs. You know, Christy's smart. She'll go to, like, you know, L.A., New Orleans, San Francisco, but she won't go to, like, Champaign Urbana.
How come?
You know, or Omaha. You know, those gigs we'll be on our own.
Well, it's great for you to come by here, and especially to bring that little extra track. And man, we all can't wait to hear the album, which is coming out on the 17th of Rocktober. And it's 10 songs on the album.
Yeah.
And did you? Is this a digital album? I mean, that's, you know, with today's things, do you think it matters?
We thought about doing a digital, but the machines weren't available at the time, so we went analog, and that's what we're more used to working with anyway. So it's good for mixing.
Yeah, Paul Kantner and Grace Slick were up here a couple of weeks ago and asked him about it. I said, that's the same thing. You just record it, and there it is, you know?
Yeah, it's true. If you get too hung up in the technology, you start losing what you're really supposed to be doing,
well,
which is recording.
We really want to thank you for coming by here.
Thanks, Pat.
At 102.7 WNEW FM. It is great to see you. It'll be great to have you on the road. Let us know exactly, you know, when the dates for our area are coming up.
Okay.
We'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday Night Live, and that is the 21st.
Yeah.
Great. And we'll look forward to this the record. Now, the single will be released next Wednesday, so you don't have to run to your stores yet because it's not there. But it is here. We sure thank you. And I asked you, I've got all your compact discs here, out of the whole catalog. I asked you what song you would like to hear, because we don't have anything else from the new album.
Okay.
And you picked this song. Why? You haven't heard it for a while, or what? I mean, this was the first song that came to your mind when I said, what should we play?
Oh, it's just something that's been on my mind, this song. It's sort of dedicated to these ex-management people I just got away from. Okay, let's put it that way.
All right. Billy Joel at 102.7 WNEW FM. Here's a song.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Question of when I've lived long enough to
always been a matter of trust. That's Billy Joel at 102.7 WNEW-FM. Quiet. We're on the air.
Shh.
No, Billy is still here, and everybody from the station has come by.
Is the microphone on?
We have got all the microphones on. In fact, this is the first time I've had six microphones on at the same time.
There we go.
Yeah.
There's Billy adjusting his mic.
I know how to do that.
We didn't start the fire.
Scott, no, because it's been burning since...
Since the world's been turning.
You've got it down. Now let's do the rest of it, Scott.
Well, no, I can't do that. I can only do the chorus.
Yeah, and to settle the argument, it's rock and roll a cola war.
Cola Wars.
Not Cola Wars. Rock and Roll Cola Wars.
Cola Wars.
The last mention on the song. Cola Wars.
That's cool. But you got
Cola Wars.
You got. Chubby Checker was the last one that I heard. I had missed that the first couple of times listening to it.
Yeah, he's in there.
And it's great. That's an amazing record. And I don't know if you heard earlier, but it's in total chronological order, starting in 1949, year of your birth, and then right up to the present as time starts to accelerate.
Yep.
So look for the new Billy Joel single. Which is going to be out next Wednesday, and then on the 17th of October, the brand new album called Stormfront. And thank you again, Billy, for coming by. We love you, man.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. And I think I've just about timed this right, so after this, the watch will go off, and Donna will be here with the news, and then we'll do the workforce blocks.